Hey, what is up, guys? Welcome to the Gadgetflow podcast, the show about everything related to products, marketing, entrepreneurship, and crowdfunding. I'm your host, Evan Varsimis. Make sure to check out Gadgetflow, the original product discovery platform at thegadgetflow.com. Let's get started with today's episode. Nalin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Evan. I'm really glad to be here. And hi, everyone. My name is Nalin, and I'm the founder of Crush Crowdfunding. You know, in my line of work, I really get to wake up every single day to help entrepreneurs just bring projects to life. And you know, this, just helping entrepreneurs, I'm really passionate about it because of the connection that happened. You know, I'm welcome to the world of their deepest passion and just privy to their hidden insecurities, pretty much. I get to be people's confidant and sounding board when ideas are just racing around at the speed of light. You know, I'm really by their side when things don't go according to plan. And the world seems like it will crumble when the project just doesn't go according to plan, for example. Or, you know, I'm with them when they realize that, yes, they have really succeeded in bringing to life an idea they've been thinking about for years. And it's really an insane rush to do this and get to wake up every day knowing that I have the opportunity to work with hardworking, just driven and inspirational entrepreneurs just to launch their dreams every single day. Beyond work, you know, I play a lot of soccer, actually, and a lot of board games. I get to drink a lot of delicious Pacific Northwest beers now that I'm in Seattle. Nice. I go on long walks with my dogs about every day and just see all the sunshine sometimes and rain most of the time, and just exploring new cities and countries with my partner. And so far, we've been to about 40 countries around the world now and hope to keep traveling.
That's amazing. I love the energy.
Yeah.
So what goes through your career and, you know, up until the point that you got familiar with crowdfunding?
Yeah. I actually got into crowdfunding pretty early on in my career, actually. You know, I've always loved talking to people. I've always loved building relationships and understanding what makes people tick. You know, I was always like the extrovert of the family, pretty much. And so it was almost a no-brainer to go into marketing in the first place, since it pretty much lies at the intersection of psychology and business. And, you know, with marketing, during grad school, I was in the Bay Area and I found the startup phase because everyone's kind of a startup there, right?
Right.
So in that initial phase of business where everything is still a little messy and you need to wear just every single hat that you can pick up off the ground, pretty much, I found that to be really, really exciting. Within that, I discovered crowdfunding as a channel for that initial launch for new products. And I was really hooked just from kind of the reasons I said before. You know, I was pretty fresh out of grad school at the time when I first heard about crowdfunding. I was working as a marketing manager for a startup and they wanted to actually use crowdfunding as their own launch platform. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a pretty cool thing. And so we connected with a crowdfunding agency for some help. And it turns out that the agency was growing and looking for some marketing talent. So they asked me to join their team. And
that's awesome.
And from there on, I've really been fortunate enough to see crowdfunding from just so many perspectives, actually. I worked at the crowdfunding agency and I've seen the processes there and kind of the agency perspective of things. Mm. I've worked on, you know, the quote unquote other side of things, which is kind of the client side. When I was in, you know, a Silicon Valley tech company, and I actually launched multiple products with them through their company, through crowdfunding too. And now, you know, I'm working with up and coming agencies kind of around the world to create their crowdfunding launch processes, and also as a consultant to help people launch. So I'm kind of getting like a 360 degree view of crowdfunding from so many perspectives here. So it's really amazing to see crowdfunding from so many angles and just be with it from so many kind of viewpoints. And it's been a great journey so far.
Yeah, I bet. Tell us a bit, you know, some of your recent successes in crowdfunding. And let's also talk, you know, about Kickstarter and Indiegogo, pre-launch phases, and everything in between. I'd love if you can just lay out a couple projects that you've recently worked with that have tremendous success, as well as the strategies that you've pretty much recommended or followed as the manager of those two campaigns.
Yeah, that sounds good. So, you know, I've launched a few projects this year, and there's one live right now, at least. It's called Graphene X. It's a jacket that's kind of breaking the mold of the typical outdoor jacket. You know, they're the first ones in the world who have managed to integrate graphene, you know, the same material that you find in a pencil, into the fabric of a jacket. And people don't really know this, but graphene is incredibly strong, really lightweight, and crazy durable. So by putting graphene into the fabric of the jacket, they've managed to create a jacket that can just withstand a lot of what nature and life throws at you. And it's kind of crazy things that just one jacket can do. You know, it's anti-static, anti-UV, antibacteria, anti-mosquito, waterproof, breathable. There's just so much that it can do. And they have just, I think, a few days left on their campaign now. It's been a truly great ride. Another one that just recently launched is also kind of a online supermarket. It's an online members only supermarket, which is different than everything that I've actually launched so far, because usually I work with like products or, you know, like apparel or something like that. Yeah. And this one was kind of a tough nut to crack, because it was just in the US market and also just really kind of higher price point than Costco or Whole Foods or something like that, the membership. And it's kind of high quality foods at prices that are palatable, meaning you don't get charged an arm and a leg to eat the best foods. What I love about this project is that they're also really passionate about transparency in the entire supply chain. You'll see exactly where your food came from, what the makers of that food, the yogurt, butter, oil, salmon, or otherwise, what the makers of the food actually gets paid for each thing that you buy. And it's insane thinking about the black box that is the current food industry and what the future looks like. With the transparency from this particular campaign. It's called Move, by the way.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone's interested.
Quick question. So I've personally only worked with creators launching actual physical products, right? On Kickstarter and Indiegogo. So how was launching a service, right, or an actual business on Kickstarter or Indiegogo? I don't know which platform you use for this one. Mm-hmm. How was like the strategy and the approach that you've worked on pretty much on this? Was it different? Was it a lot different or pretty much the same?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So since this was like my first time going into a service too, I had kind of the same like worries and concerns, right? I was like, wait, mostly we launch products, you know, what is the service thing? However, you know, about 3 month pre-launch period, you know, working to figure out the story, working to figure out the videos, things like that, it ended up just being kind of the same exact process of launching a product. And I actually have like a 7-step process that I take people through. I call it kind of the launch success formula that I take people through. And it fit really well for this campaign too, even though it's like a service campaign. So, you know, we go through the steps, which is kind of like, define your goal, right? What is your goal? What are you looking to raise? What are you looking to do? And then it's pretty much do the research, right? Like who else out there has done something similar, even if it's not on crowdfunding, right? Who out there can we model? Who out there can we see what, you know, we can take the wins for and kind of step over the obstacles that they have, right? Things like that. Do the research.
That makes sense.
Define the goal. Do the research, find the tribe, right? It's really important. People for this particular product, since we're dealing with food, there's a lot of passionate people about food. a lot of really niche groups, people who like love organic, people who love raw food, people who love paleo. It's basically just finding these niches and just talking to them and saying, hey, this is what we're about. This is what the mission is. This is what our story is. You know, would you like to join us? And it was really well received, and it was, a lot of those 3 months before launch, again, was really about building that audience, finding people who wanted this project, wanted this service before we even launched, and which was was great. And the next step, again, is number 4, which is conducting a pre-launch, letting these little groups everywhere across the internet. Again, I love the internet because it's like a self-congregating group of people with the same interests, and you can always find people with different interests. Just telling these groups like, hey, we're about to launch, we're launching on Kickstarter, this is how you can support us, and just letting them know, everyone, friends and families, acquaintances, letting them know when we're gonna launch. And that pre-launch phase was really fun, actually, because we just outreached to so many people.
Yeah.
And then step 5 of 7 is you know, creating a converting product page, right? Creating a converting page. It's like putting that social proof in there. Like, hey, we've had beta tests with over 1,000 people. This is what they said. This is what news articles have said about the beta versions of this particular service launch, right? Some people actually were saying that these guys are taking are going up against Amazon, right? It's like the Goliath, David and Goliath story. So like we put a lot of those social proof things on the page, and also we put a lot of quotes and testimonials on the page. We put a lot of beautiful imagery of the food itself because we're trying to talk about high quality. So yeah, creating that converting, I guess, project page with the assets we have and the information that we have. And the six and seven step is really just bringing people in to the campaign in any way possible, outreaching to people, continuing to outreach to people, outreaching to new people. And the last one is just keeping backers invested. Because, you know, with our crowdfunding campaign, people can refund at any time, right? They can refund at the beginning, right after they back the project. They can refund, you know, the day after the last day of the campaign, right? Like, they can refund at any time. And so just keeping backers happy, pretty much, and just keeping the campaign momentum going. So right. That's kind of, it's kind of the seven-step process I like to go through. And it was really just the same for a service project as, you know, a hardware project.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I'd like to ask you a follow-up question on the refund that you've mentioned earlier. So I think, actually, based on your experience, right, what's the refund percentage on every project that you've actually, you know, seen the past few years?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's different. I don't think there's like a good like set number for refunds. Mm-hmm. However, I do see a lot of refunds towards the end of the campaign, especially if there's a lot of updates being sent out. So towards the end of campaign, at least on Kickstarter, right? The credit card gets charged on the last day of the, you know, after the campaign ends and it's fully funded. So people who are pro at Kickstarter, at least, are like, hey, we're getting to the end of this campaign. I might, you know, not be getting my, you know, paycheck. I might be wanting to buy something else. I might have found a different project that I'm interested in that I want to, I kind of pivot my money to. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the refunds. So towards the end of the campaign, you know, it seems to me at least that less updates are probably better with the number of refunds we're seeing towards the end. But there's really no like good percentage to say, because it's very, very different for every single campaign.
Yeah, that's true. So let's focus on the campaigner mindset for a second. You've worked with creators. We've worked with, well, more than 4,000 creators over the course of the last 7 or so years. What do you think motivates them, and what drives that dedication of, you know, launching a campaign, working day and night, literally, or, you know, working part-time 10 hours a day after work on your project? You know, what motivates them?
Yeah, I love this question, because I actually just talked to someone yesterday who, you know, has a full-time job working 10 hours, and then they work on their crowdfunding campaign after work until like midnight every single night, and then they do it again and again. I'm just so overwhelmed by amount of dedication people have in the crowdfunding industry. I love it.
I know.
So yeah, I've talked to hundreds of people over the years about their dream, pretty much, to launch a project on crowdfunding. And it's really interesting, really, when you get to the why. It's actually one of the things I like to get to know about entrepreneurs when we first get on our initial call, right? Like, why did you build this product? Why do you even want to launch this thing in the first place? Because from my perspective, like, launching on crowdfunding is like the first initial baby step, right, into a much bigger and scarier world of entrepreneurship. And as an entrepreneur myself, I know that some days are just more difficult than others. You know, and my personal why and what keeps me going is through, you know, really just like thick and thin, is I like to focus on that and focus on, you know, supporting my family, making the best for my family, and keep my family secure. So with these entrepreneurs, you know, I like to talk to them, and I just say before we launch, you know, I encourage them to ask themselves, you know, why is succeeding with crowdfunding like so important to you? Like, what is your intention for the launch? And whoever's listening, I just encourage them to really think about these two questions too, because when things get rough, like going back to your why is just so important. And the questions might seem simple at first, you know, why is succeeding important? And what is your intention? But if you think deeper about them, it really just makes a profound impact, right? Because do you have a contribution that will make a positive change in the world if your product comes to life? You know, have you always aspired to be an inventor? You know, that gets to a really deep core value of who you are, right? Are you doing this to bring a childhood dream to life? Or are you doing this to jumpstart a business so you can better provide for your family? You know, like there's so many whys out there that gets to the deeper reason of like the people and their values and why people want to launch a project. So, you know, just anyone who wants to launch on crowdfunding will really need to find their reason, because things can and do get tough. And having a reason, you know, that why for launching just keeps you accountable for everything you have to do for your launch. Even when you're like, oh no, visitors aren't coming in. What do I do now? Like, how do I outreach to like 100 more people today, right? Even when you're feeling down, even when you're struggling. So again, if you're listening to this, I really encourage you to go out and just write down your why, because it will really be the anchor to your project. Every time we try something new, there's always fear of the unknown, and just putting this on paper will just really kind of get you through that hump.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Do you think that based on your experience, right, there's such a thing as a secret sauce in crowdfunding?
Like I was talking about earlier, like I think yes and no. I think the little secret in crowdfunding is that there is no secret sauce to a successful crowdfunding campaign. every full service agency, every consultant, every expert in the area, and you know, every person who has dabbled in crowdfunding pretty much uses the same kind of formula for success. Mm. And the way I break it down, it's seven steps that I talked about earlier. It's defining your goal. Again, it doing the research, finding your tribe, preparing them for the launch, you know, that pre-launch warm-up phase, creating that converting page, bringing more visitors to the page, and keeping backers invested. It's really that kind of seven-step launch success formula process that everyone uses. So I think that's pretty much the secret.
That's pretty much the secret.
Yeah. There's no secret.
Let's go a bit more in depth when it comes to like the process. I mean, since like 2015, you know, it kind of became the norm to do a pre-launch phase, to go through the pre-launch phase for your website, get subscribers, prep your Facebook ads, A/B test like images, and 1,000 other things right before you go live. So I think that there is a framework in place that most agencies and consultants are actually using today. And, you know, definitely it works based on the numbers, right? I'd love if you can recommend to the audience today, like some of the services that you've used, for example, to build your website, some of the services you've used for optimizing Facebook ads, you know, some of the services as another example to do PR. Because at the end of the day, you know, like when we're talking about crowdfunding, most of our audience are probably planning to launch a crowdfunding campaign within the next few months or perhaps even a year, right? It's great to actually get to like 100% to the point when it comes to those services, as well as the process itself. So I'd love if we can spend like a few minutes talking about this, as well as the overall process, because a lot of people like hear pre-launch, right? So I think it's a bit, you know, self-explanatory in a sense. It's before you launch, a period that is consisted of like up to anywhere from like 1 month to like 4 months, depending on your budget, the size of your team and everything, right?
Yeah.
But walk us through the process as well as the strategies that you're personally using, right, with your customers or the agencies you work with. And tell us also if there's like room for improvement. Because personally, I feel like, you know, this framework has been working for the past like 4 years, pretty good, right? For most customers or more brands for most products, but I haven't seen any kind of innovation. You know, I've seen people trying giveaways. I've seen people trying to, you know, tweak the value proposition. But I haven't seen like anything like, you know, unique or like super innovative in terms of the approach during the pre-launch phase.
Yeah. That's a really good thing to bring up, actually. Yeah, it's like you said, it's really been the typical kind of process, right? You create an advertising, you lead that advertising to a landing page, you take the people from the landing page to an email list, you nurture the email list, and then you say, hey, we're launching, and you send them to the crowdfunding page, right? So that particular process has been tried and true and has stayed with us for a long time. It seems like there's innovation in small amounts in each of those different sectors. So for example, when people started figuring out like, hey, we'll do Instagram too. Hey, we're going to do Instagram stories. Hey, Instagram stories is working much better than anything on Facebook right now. So there's a little bit of like movement there and changes in that particular section and area. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you, like as a whole, it's kind of the same process still. For the landing page section, there has been some changes recently where people are finally getting to kind of the heart of what people actually want to buy. At first, we're mm-hmm. seeing that people only ask for email addresses, right? And that signifies customer interest, you know, and this is marketing 101, just them giving your information is just basic customer interest. But now, you know, I found that actually taking them a step further, one step into the buying process actually really, really highly indicates the likelihood and the chance that they'll actually buy the product and pre-order the product. So for example, taking people through the landing page to take their email. And after they do give their email, say, hey, do you want to, you know, kind of save your spot in line, right? Do you want to kind of leave this deposit so that you can actually get access to this earlier than everyone, have access to the early prices before anyone else? That actually gets you at buying intent for people, which is actually really incredible. And I've been using that with a lot of the projects that I've been working on, and it's kind of insane the number of people who back from that project. Because typically with just kind of interest, you see around like a 1-5% conversion rate from an email, which is, mm-hmm. to be honest, kind of abysmal. Right? Yeah, like if you're collecting thousands of emails and you've spent thousands and thousands of dollars and you see a 1-5% conversion rate, that's heartbreaking, right? Yeah. It's really heartbreaking. But if I found that if you actually, you know, go further and just take people from interest to kind of purchased intent, that takes you up to like 20-30% of your email list converting. And that is a lot more. It moves the needle. When you're thinking of it that way, especially if you're working with products that are like $500 or $200 or something like that too. So, you know, for anyone else out there listening, like I would really recommend to take people from just that interest intent, at least to the purchase intent, because there's a massive, massive uptick in people converting from an email to like an actual backer, an actual person paying dollars for your project for sure. And when we're talking about tools, there's a lot of different tools out there. People use everything from, you know, for landing pages, at least people use everything from like Instapage to Squarespace to Wix to, you know, all these things. And some people even use Shopify, right? Like there's so many tools out there, but I found that one of the best and easiest tools to use is actually ClickFunnels. And there's somewhat of a hype around ClickFunnels right now, but just for crowdfunding itself, it seems to work really well because it not only collects emails, but it also integrates that deposit kind of mechanism all into one platform too. So you're not connecting multiple different tools all together.
Yeah, that's the 100% on that. What are some of the biggest challenges based on that, you know, for creators and today? Because challenges, you know, there's like so many throughout the year. And I'm saying throughout the year because last year there were like so many different challenges when it comes to like Facebook ads with budget increasing and, you know, mm-hmm. the CPMs and the CPC and everything in between. The year before, you know, it was Indiegogo's tracking issues and everything. What about this mm-hmm. year? What about 2019? What about, let's talk about 2020. It's only like a couple months away, right? Mm-hmm. What are like some of the biggest challenges that you kind of, you know, foresee for 2020, but also, you know, some of the biggest challenges for 2019?
Yeah. That's a really good question. And I think the main thing is honestly attention. Cause like you were saying earlier, you know, there's everything's kind of getting more expensive now. Everything's kind of getting towards kind of going towards paid now. So attention is actually one of the biggest challenges. And what I mean about that when I say attention, is people kind of buzzing and talking about campaigns and projects beyond what paid advertising can do, right? Yes, yeah. There's advertising where you just kind of pay money into places like Facebook, Instagram, Google, things like that. And you get people coming to your page and turning people into backers. But beyond that paid channel, it's honestly more difficult now for a lot of these campaigns to find successes elsewhere where it's more organic. There's kind of, I guess, a few reasons I'm seeing that's making getting attention so difficult for campaigners like recently. And, you know, one is that crowdfunding campaigns have just gotten a lot of bad rap recently. There's been large catastrophic hits in the crowdfunding industry when campaigns don't deliver or they overpromise and underdeliver. And that's one reason that's been getting it much more difficult to get attention, visitors, eyes, traffic, whatever you want to call it. And secondly, there's actually been huge changes in the PR industry itself.
Yeah.
You know, and long gone really are the days where someone can work with a PR agency or PR specialist and just leverage their relationships to get written about for the crowdfunding campaign. Like, long gone are the days you're just, you know, paying a few thousand dollars to a PR agency and they're just going to go, you know, get your project on TechCrunch, right? Long gone are those days, right?
Exactly.
And you can't just really do a Hail Mary blast of a press release anymore, right? And hope that it'll get picked up by a notable source that will convert to tens or hundreds of backers. And it's really just all PR is just really shifting into pay to play now, right? Which makes ad-driven agencies just so much more powerful in the crowdfunding space itself. So with all these changes for, you know, getting attention, how expensive attention is getting to be, a lot of these crowdfunding campaigns that, you know, don't have huge budgets, that's honestly one of the biggest challenges. And one of the, obviously the best ways to do it is just finding your tribe, really focusing on finding people on the internet, people in real life who are going to back you and support you, because that's just kind of what will take you far. Just getting people who are as obsessed about this product as you are, mm-hmm. and building that relationship so you're not throwing money at someone else to try to get an audience for you, and just owning those relationships, owning ways for yourself and your product to get attention is going to be kind of the key, I think.
Yeah, totally agree. Where can our audience find you? And what kind of services you're pretty much offering these days?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So if anyone listening is interested to, you know, launch on crowdfunding or Kickstarter, Indiegogo, you can head to crushcrowdfunding.com. It's pretty easy to find, crushcrowdfunding.com. You know, on there that you'll see that I offer a lot of free information about crowdfunding, and so that so much of the people have told me that they've used it to successfully launch their own campaign, without, you know, anywhere outside help. And there's courses, also coaching, and I'm basically trying to take crowdfunding education to the next level in the next year here. As I mentioned earlier, I love working with entrepreneurs to launch products, to market, and I'm just really passionate about helping people succeed with launching whatever they have. And so, and there's unfortunately just a lot of bad information out there that's hurting the industry. So I'm working on some big things for 2020 that will hopefully better help people in their launch journey and just better serve people with the tools and kind of the knowledge they need to successfully launch.
Looking forward to it. Even me from my end, right? Thank you so much, Nalin. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Evan.
Thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Gadget Flow podcast. If you've enjoyed the episode, please make sure to rate and review our show on iTunes. See you guys next week.